Mike comes to read to us the text for the sermon this morning. It's a it's kind of a lengthier text than we've been doing in James. It deals with what we say. The topic is how we use our tongue to say what we want to say. It begins with a warning. I'm not going to take a lot of time with that initial warning. I'm going to talk mostly about the rest of it. This topic is a topic that's important to James, and the two selections that Mike's going to read are just two of several passages in James where he talks about what we say to others and how we say it. So listen now, please.
Today's first scripture reading comes from James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And can be found on page 1196 of your pew Bible. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Today's second scripture reading also comes from James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and can be found on page 1197 of your pew Bible. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
This is really bad timing this morning. After Jenny just told us how much she needs to recruit teachers, the first thing I'm going to say to you out of James that not many of you should want to be teachers. So let me explain a little bit about that. It might be that James is not saying we don't need more teachers. It might be that he's saying some of you shouldn't be teachers, but probably he's saying, I want to remind you how important this function of teaching is. In Jewish culture, it was commonly said that teachers are to be more respected than fathers. It might be that James is encountering a situation where either false teaching is going on or ignorant teaching is going on. So he is, in his own unsubtle way, saying, hey, you know, some of you ought not to be teachers. In the New Testament, this act of teaching is considered a gift. Paul writes, God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers. In another portion of Scripture, there's almost the expectation that we will grow into the task and responsibility of teaching. In Hebrews chapter 5, there's this interesting little piece where the writer of Hebrews deals with some kind of complicated theological ideas, including something about Melchizedek. And then he says this: it is hard to explain these things because you are slow to learn. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. There is the expectation that we will grow, the readers will grow in their knowledge of faith, of what God has taught, to the point where they will become teachers. It is the expectation of the writer of Hebrews. Can you imagine me saying that to you? It's hard to teach you because you are slow to learn. I don't think that. I just want you to know that. I don't think that. But the expectation there is that we will get to the point where we can teach others. So don't be discouraged about teaching. Don't be discouraged to respond positively when Jenny or someone else calls you and asks you to teach. It is a privilege, and it is a responsibility. Not many of you, however, should become teachers. Why? Because teachers will be judged more harshly. Don't let that discourage you, please. We will all be judged. The Word of God says, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God, Romans 4:12. Why does James single out teaching? Because teaching has direct and obvious eternal consequences. When we take on the responsibility to teach, we are taking on the responsibility of conveying God's truth. And that is a heavy responsibility. Should we be afraid of it? No. Should we understand it's a serious task? Yes. Should we be careful about it? Yes. Should we be willing to serve God in this way? Yes. Good. That's all I'm going to say about it because it's kind of preaching at me, and I don't want to do that. Okay? And then he goes on to say a number of things about what we say, how we talk. This could apply to teachers only, but I don't think so. It's about tongues, about how we say things and what we say generally, and it applies to all of us. Two things as we go into this to keep in mind. First of all, this whole section, as obviously other sections in James, is not just about how we behave, although it is. It's not just about being nice, although it is. It's about following Jesus Christ. Don't minimize or diminish what James is saying here as, well, he's just dealing with manners, good etiquette. No. He's dealing with the obligation to be as God wants us to be as followers of Jesus Christ. What we say, how we say it, is about how we follow Jesus Christ as Lord as well as Savior. So keep that in mind. This is about following Jesus. And the general teaching in this section is basically this: what we say and how we say it matters. What we say and how we say it matters. Some people just have the gift of being able to say difficult things in a way that is obviously loving and encouraging. They're gifted that way. I remember reading of a baseball player who said of a manager that he had who knew how to criticize his technique in a way that was encouraging, and he described it this way: he knows how to step on your shoes without messing with your shine. People are gifted that way. There are people like that know how to do that. And then for the rest of us, we're kind of like our 8-year-old granddaughter, Willow. I wrote about this in the newsletter that's coming out. A little background. When I taught confirmation, I would always begin the class with a series of questions like, are we having fun? Yes, we're having fun. Are you glad to be here? Yes, we're glad to be here. Is Pastor Mike always right? Yes, Pastor Mike is always right. And then the last one was, is Pastor Mike tall and handsome? Yes, Pastor Mike is tall and handsome. Well, anyway, I was going through that when we were, as a family, gathered around the dinner table, and Willow was there, and she'd never heard me do this. And she looked at me, and I knew she was going to say something. I was hoping she'd say I wasn't tall. That's not what she said. She said, Grandpa, you're not handsome. And then, as if she understood the gravity of what she just said, she says, you're nice. Pause. But you're not handsome. Willow's 8 years old, and she does not have filters as yet. Doesn't need them as yet. But we do. We're no longer, at least most of us, are now no longer 8 years old. And when we have to tell the truth, the instructions to us are, in Scripture, is that we are to tell the truth in love. But not only in telling the truth, just generally, how we speak, what we say, and how we say it is a matter of importance to God. It is a matter of importance in what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And James has a number of things to say about our tongues and how we use them. The first thing he says is that the tongue is powerful. And he uses three illustrations. It's like the bit in a horse's mouth to direct the horse. It's like the rudder that directs the course of a ship. It is like a spark that starts a whole forest fire. And the general point is that these are relatively small things, yet they do great things. They cause great damage. I imagine if James were writing today, he might, instead of those illustrations, might say a sensor, a faulty sensor on a 737 MAX can do great damage, and it's only a very small part of an airplane. Likewise, our tongue is a small part of our body. But as he puts it, it boasts great things. It can do great damage. He has a number of expressions about the tongue. I'm going to just read some of these because, my goodness. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and this is itself set on fire by hell, a restless evil full of deadly poison. There's no subtlety in this. There's no softness in what James has to say. He wants us to know that our tongue, the words we speak and how we speak them, have the potential for incredibly great evil. And you have perhaps experienced that. You can probably look back on your life and you can recall things that were said to you and you've never been able to forget them because they hurt. I remember once I was out in the field with my dad, and it was something he wanted me to do, and I couldn't quite do it, whatever it was. And he said to me, why can't you be more like Joey? Joey was the son of a family that was friends of ours. Joey was the kind of kid that grew up to be the quarterback on the high school team, all-star kind of kid. And my dad said to me, "Why can't you be like Joey?" I have never forgotten that. And you have things in your life that people have said to you, and you've never forgotten them. Those are illustrations of what James is saying here, that the words you say, speak, matter. They make a difference to other people. And James is focusing on all the evil, all the harm that what we say can do. So what do we learn from that? What do we come out with that? Our words have a high capacity for hurting others. Therefore, be careful. Our words matter. What we say matters. Therefore, be careful. It's not the first time we've dealt with this in James. Remember what he said? Be slow to speak. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. That applies here. Be careful. Think about it. Think about the damage you might do if you say what you're thinking about saying. Think about what you might, the damage you might do if you speak when you're angry. Think about the danger of going from "you were late" to "you're always late. You don't care about me." Think about the difference there. Be careful with that. Think about the expression, "you know, I need to say that. I just got to get this off my chest. This has been bugging me. I got to say this." No, you don't. That's not the guidance from Scripture. If there's something you need to say, and it has the potential of being hurtful, harmful, then be quick to listen, slow to speak. What counts here is not that you feel better, but that you are encouraging and loving to the person you need to speak with. Be careful. That's a simple sort of summary and exhortation from what James says. He says the tongue cannot be tamed. It will always retain its potential for evil. Even though you may make good progress in taking care of what you speak and how you speak and what you say and how you say it, if you make good progress, thanks be to God. But understand that it always has a potential, and always will have the potential for evil. Did you ever read the story of a woman who took in a chimpanzee, a monkey, very young, a baby monkey, and it became her pet, and she forgot that it's in a wild animal? And one day, it reverted to what it was and attacked her and attacked her face and ruined her face because it still was a wild animal. We are instructed by Scripture to control our tongue. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Later, James will say, do not slander, do not speak evil of one another. Paul says, let no unwholesome talk come out of you. And we should do that. But we should also do so with the understanding that there is always in me the capacity to hurt others by what I say. We can control our tongue. We cannot tame it. Don't say, yes, I can. Yes, I have. No, you can't. No, you haven't. That's what the Word of God says. important sort of sidelight in this. What we say reflects who we are. Not all the time. Sometimes we goof up and mess up. But generally speaking, what we say and how we say it reflects who we are. Jesus said, your mouth says what is in your heart. More importantly, what James says here, well, I don't know if it's more important, but I want to remind you of what James says. The tongue corrupts the whole body. What we say not only reflects who we are, it also affects who we are. If we speak to others in such a way that is damaging to them, it makes it easier for us to continue to do that and to do it more often. Somehow we excuse ourselves when we say things that are hurtful to others. And it becomes easier to do it again. What we say reflects who we are. What we say affects who we are. What we say makes a difference to others and to ourselves. Last thing that James says. And he said this sort of thing before. It was about, he said it when he was talking about how we see people who are, you know, the person that walks into the church who is who appears to be rich, and the person who walks in to, who appears to be poor, and we treat them differently. And James says, how can you do that? How can you say that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and then do that? How can you do that? He says very much the same thing. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's image. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? We have gathered here this morning and done a great thing. Praise God. Expressed our love for God. And I think we've done it well. And I think, hopefully, we've done it sincerely, with the best intent. But if we leave this place and have an attitude of criticism and putting people down and speaking hard things, not because they need to hear it, but because we need to say it, I think James would ask of us, how does that work? How did you just praise God and then walk out of here and speak that way to your children, to your spouse, to the person at the store? How can you do that? How can that be? The good news is that indeed, God chooses to allow us to praise him, to use our voices, our words, to praise him. May it be that we'll do that, not only here, but in our lives. And may it be that as we do that, that will make a difference to us in how we see and talk to others. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we are told that there are things that are important to us that we might not think are so important, but you do. You think it is important. You command us to think of it as important, how we speak, what we say, and how we say it to others. Remind us, Father, this is not about etiquette. Good manners. It's about following Jesus. In whose name we pray, amen.